A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corn. So I sent our episode yesterday about sleep medicine to our esteemed friend of the show, Dr. Emmett Schneiderman, who is a individual professor who whose work is very interesting and actually quite an appropriate person to know in the My Word Prompts community, because I feel like the defining feature of this podcast is firstly being experimentary. We're very transparent about the fact that the voices for Herman and Corin are AI generated. We're very transparent about the fact that a lot of the reason that I send in prompts is some of it is the more boring reasons, stuff that I want to know about for my job. It's basically a kind of continuous professional development stream when I ask those very specific questions about agentic AI. But I also keep one eye on the fact that most people are not going to be interested in these niche topics, but that people have surprisingly strange interests, and that if we can roll with this idea that with careful grounding, we can create a beautiful graph, and that's the sort of mental map that I have in my brain when I think about this podcast. Podcasts are typically presented as linear feeds. You have the newest episode. That's how podcast episodes work. I've always envisioned this as more a graph-backed podcast in which we create a lot of episodes about a really rich variety of topics. And what becomes interesting for listeners is exploring the episode history through that graph. In other words, not even consuming this podcast maybe through a podcast client, but through topic-based discovery. And we haven't really implemented that yet. This is, after all, something I do as a passion project and as a source of learning. But I'm sure we'll get there in time. We visualize the graph. And the honest answer to how we're going to do that is that I'm not sure we even have the infrastructure yet. It's kind of a novel concept, but we will get there. And in that spirit, yesterday we put down some more nodes about sleep medicine. And our listener, Dr. Schneiderman, noticed that the acronym handling, he said the information was very good. So well done, Herman and Corin. I also found it highly informative. But the acronym handling has been a bug for the podcast for a little bit of time, and I want to explain what people are picking up on. So the podcast is generated using two different technologies at the moment. The script is DeepSeek, and then we send into Chatterbox for the text-to-speech. Chatterbox, I really love. I really feel like it's a TTS engine that has been a fantastic fit for the podcast. It provides prosody, and you know, it's not perfect, but it does a great job. But it struggles with acronym parsing. So one of those things about when you're doing AI with open source tech is it's kind of like a car that you have to put together yourself. You might have driven a car before with 11 Labs, and it's got all these little things baked in that suddenly aren't there. And this is where I think we're struggling with the acronym handling. So if I include an acronym in an episode, you, TT Chatterbox, out of the box, is not going to know that it needs to be read letter by letter. We can do some fixes with grepping, regex pattern matching, or with an AI model. We've tried spacing them apart, but then Herman reads them kind of like in a very robotic way, FDA, for example, instead of FDA. And I've looked into, we talked about disfluencies yesterday, and acronym identification is another one of those areas where you have these very small, specific BERT models that are built for detecting an acronym. It might seem like a really obvious thing, but it's actually non-obvious. For example, if I write a script that says what, and I capitalize it for emphasis, or the script writing agent does, with a question mark, an exclamation mark after that, that's not an acronym. So we can't use a simple, if it's all caps, it's an acronym, transformation. And then the other question, let's just take the FDA as an example, we could try spelling it out phonetically. which tends to give very strange results. We can add dots, but then what happens if the TTS engine reads out those periods? That's going to sound terrible as well. So it's non-obvious. Herman and Korn, for those who are building audiobooks, podcasts, or anything using TTS, they might have found Chatterbox is a great engine, but they've run up against acronym handling or any other of these little things that you think should be obvious, but you're going to run into handling. We've seen 11 Labs that has spearheaded things like speech-specific markdown, in which there's a standard schema provided by which content writers can put in specific keywords for emphasis, sarcasm, things like that. Of course, it relies upon a TTS engine that can parse that. That's the emerging practice, but we still, even with these more, let's say, advanced prosody handling systems, do run into these errors. So what can one do if you are building a pipeline for TTS? Do you begin adding on these BERT models as kind of sidecars, or is there some other approach that you can get a deterministic and reliable pipeline that the script writer will generate a script and it's going to come out the other end from TTS perfect without any of these bump roads like acronyms being read out as words or rendered nonsensical?
Daniel sent us this one, and it's a bit different from our usual. He's not just asking a question, he's pulled back the curtain on how the sausage gets made, and he's got a technical problem he wants to talk through. Specifically, the podcast has been running into acronym handling issues with Chatterbox, our text-to-speech engine. Things like F coming out robotic, or the engine trying to pronounce all caps words as words instead of letters. And he's asking, if you're building a TTS pipeline, how do you actually solve this deterministically? Do you bolt on specialized models as sidecars, or is there a cleaner approach?
This is one of those problems that sounds trivial until you actually sit down and try to solve it. And Daniel's right, you can't just say, if it's all caps, it's an acronym. I mean, someone writes what with an exclamation mark, the model capitalizes it for emphasis, and suddenly your pipeline is trying to spell it out letter by letter, W-H-A-T, which is nonsense.
Fun fact, DeepSeek V4 Pro is writing our script today, which is fitting because we're about to get very deep into the weeds on a problem that script-writing models themselves create.
Oh, that's actually perfect, because the script generator is the source of the ambiguity. It capitalizes things for emphasis, it formats acronyms inconsistently, and then the TTS engine downstream has to guess what was intended. So the problem starts before you even get to pronunciation.
Let's lay out the actual pipeline Daniel described, because I think the specifics matter here. The script comes from DeepSeek, then it goes to Chatterbox for text, to speech. Chatterbox is open source. Daniel really likes it for the porosity and the overall quality, but it doesn't have built-in acronym handling the way something like 11 Labs does with their speech-specific markup.
And 11 Labs has actually been the leader here. They introduced a markup schema where content creators can tag things explicitly. Emphasis, sarcasm, acronyms, pauses. It's almost like writing stage directions in a script. But that only works if the TTS engine can parse those tags. Chatterbox, out of the box, doesn't have that, so you're left solving it yourself.
Let me reframe the actual engineering question here, because I think it's more interesting than just acronyms. What Daniel is really describing is the general problem of text normalization for speech synthesis. You've got raw text coming from a language model, and it has all these ambiguities. Abbreviations, numbers, symbols, acronyms, emphasis, capitalization. The TTS engine needs to turn that into a phonetic representation, but it has to first figure out what each token actually means.
Text normalization is one of those areas where rule-based systems and machine learning models have been fighting it out for years. The classic approach was always handcrafted regex rules. You write a pattern that says, if you see two or more consecutive capital letters, and it's not at the start of a sentence, and it's not the word I or A, then treat it as an acronym and insert periods or spaces between the letters.
That works until it doesn't, which happens fast.
Daniel mentioned BERT models specifically for acronym detection. There are these tiny fine-tuned models. We're talking maybe 50 megabytes. that had been trained on labeled data to distinguish between all caps for emphasis and genuine acronyms. They look at context. The word what followed by an exclamation mark in all caps. Probably not an acronym. A sequence like FDA in the middle of a medical discussion? Almost certainly an acronym.
The sidecar approach Daniel mentioned is actually a pretty common pattern in production. TTS pipelines. You have your main model doing the heavy lifting, generating the audio. But before the text even reaches it, you run it through a series of small specialized pre-processing models. One for acronym detection, one for number normalization, one for handling dates and times, maybe one for currency.
I've seen pipelines where they use a BERT-based sequence tagger that labels every token as either acronym, emphasis caps, or regular text, and then a downstream script applies the appropriate transformation. For acronyms, it inserts spaces or periods between letters. For emphasis caps, it might add an SSML emphasis tag if the engine supports it, or just leave it as is, since the capitalization itself doesn't actually hurt pronunciation.
Here's where Daniel's specific problem gets thornier. He mentioned that when they tried spacing the letters apart, so FDA instead of FDA, Herman's voice, meaning your voice model, reads it in a robotic way. Each letter pronounced individually with unnatural pauses.
That's a Chatterbox-specific issue, or really a voice model-specific issue. Some TTS engines handle spaced letters naturally. Others need the letters to flow together more. The challenge is that the spacing approach is deterministic but sounds bad, and the dot approach, F period D period, A period, might cause the engine to literally say the word period, which is even worse.
Let's talk about what actually does work. I've been looking into this, and there are a few approaches that production systems use. The cleanest one, if your TTS engine supports it, is to use the International Phonetic Alphabet or some kind of pronunciation hinting. You don't mess with the text at all. You pass a separate pronunciation dictionary alongside it.
Oh, this is the lexicon approach. You maintain a lookup table of known acronyms and their phonetic spellings. So when the pipeline sees FDA, it looks it up and tells the TTS engine, pronounce this as FDI. The text on the page stays clean, but the pronunciation is explicit.
The beautiful thing about this is it's deterministic. Once you've defined the pronunciation for an acronym, it will always be read correctly. No guessing, no context dependence, no fragile regex patterns.
The downside is maintenance. You need to build and update that lexicon. New acronyms appear all the time. Domain-specific ones, like medical acronyms or tech acronyms, can be completely different from what a general-purpose lexicon would cover. But for a podcast like ours, where we cover a finite set of topics and the acronyms tend to recur, a curated lexicon might actually be the most reliable approach.
There's another angle here that I think is worth pulling on. Daniel mentioned that the scriptwriting model itself could be part of the solution. Instead of fixing acronyms after the fact, you teach the model to format them correctly in the first place.
Right. Prompt engineering at the script generation level. You tell the model, when you write an acronym, always format it with periods between letters, or always format it with spaces, or use a specific markup token. The model is smart enough to follow that instruction consistently, and then your downstream processing becomes trivial.
We've actually tried this, haven't we? The challenge is that the model sometimes forgets. You'll get 95% compliance, and then one acronym slips through unformatted, and your pipeline breaks. Or the model formats something that isn't an acronym because it's being cautious.
That's the fundamental tension with relying on the language model for formatting. Language models are probabilistic, not deterministic. You can get them to follow instructions most of the time, but most is not all. And in an automated pipeline where episodes are being generated without human review, a single failure creates a jarring listening experience.
Which brings me back to the sidecar approach Daniel was asking about. I think the most robust solution for a pipeline like this is actually a layered pre-processing stack. First, you run the text through a specialized acronym detection model, one of those small BERT classifiers. It labels each candidate sequence. Then you have a rule-based fallback for anything the model is uncertain about. Then you apply transformations based on the labels. And finally, you have a pronunciation lexicon as the ultimate backstop for high-frequency acronyms.
Here's the thing about BERT models for this task. They're shockingly good at it, because acronym detection is actually a pretty constrained problem. The model doesn't need to understand the entire text. It just needs to look at a short sequence, check whether it's all caps, and then look at the surrounding context to determine if it's an acronym or emphasis. Context, like nearby lowercase words, sentence position, punctuation patterns, these are strong signals.
There was a paper from a group at Carnegie Mellon a few years back that showed a fine-tuned BERT-based model achieving something like 98% accuracy on acronym detection across multiple domains. The key insight was that the model learned to recognize the syntactic patterns around acronyms. Things like the word the before an acronym, or parenthetical definitions after the first use.
98% is high, but in a production pipeline, 2 errors per 100 acronyms is still a lot if you're generating thousands of episodes. That's why you need the layered approach. The BERT model handles the easy cases. The lexicon handles the frequent cases, and for the edge cases, you log them and have a human review queue.
Let me pull on a thread Daniel mentioned that I think is actually the deeper question here. He talked about 11 Labs and their speech-specific markup as an emerging standard, and I think he's pointing at something real. The industry is slowly converging on the idea that text-to-speech needs a richer input format than plain text.
SSML has been around forever, speech synthesis, markup language. It's an XML-based standard from the early 2000s. But it's verbose and clunky, and most content creators don't want to write XML tags by hand. What 11 Labs did was create a simplified version, almost like Markdown for speech. You put asterisks around a word for emphasis, or you use a specific token for acronyms. It's human-readable and machine-parsable.
The key word there is standard. The problem right now is fragmentation. 11 Labs has their format. Chatterbox might not support it. Other engines have their own conventions. If you're building a pipeline that might switch TTS engines in the future, you don't want to lock yourself into one vendor's markup.
Which is why I think the pre-processing approach Daniel is considering, the sidecar models, is actually the more portable solution. You keep the script in plain text or minimal markup. Then, depending on which TTS engine you're using downstream, you apply the appropriate transformations. If you switch from Chatterbox to something else, you only change the transformation layer, not the entire pipeline.
There's a practical implementation detail here that's worth spelling out. If you're going to use a BERT-based acronym detector, where does it sit in the pipeline? The cleanest architecture I've seen is to run it as a microservice, a small API endpoint that takes text in and returns labeled text out. The main pipeline calls it after script generation, but before TTS synthesis.
The latency on these small BERT models is negligible. We're talking maybe 50 milliseconds for a full episode script. It's not going to add any meaningful delay to the generation process. The bigger challenge is deployment. You need to host the model somewhere, keep it running, monitor it. For a passion project like ours, that's real operational overhead.
Daniel's probably weighing exactly that trade-off. The regex approach is simple and doesn't require any infrastructure. It's just a few lines of code in the pre-processing script. But it's fragile. The BERT approach is robust, but requires hosting a model. The lexicon approach is deterministic, but requires ongoing curation.
I think there's a hybrid that might work well for our specific use case. The acronyms that appear in our episodes are actually pretty predictable. We talk about AI, FDA, NATO, CIA, UNEUI. These come up over and over. A curated lexicon of maybe 50 to 100 high-frequency acronyms would cover 90% of the cases. Then for the rest, you have a simple heuristic. If it's a sequence of 2 to 5 capital letters, and it's not at the start of a sentence, and it's not a common all-caps word like I or A or OK, treat it as an acronym and insert periods.
You'd still get edge cases. What about acronyms that are also words, like WHO for the World Health Organization? The model might try to pronounce it as WHO, or acronyms that people sometimes pronounce as words, like NATO versus NATO.
That's actually a deeper distinction. Initialisms versus acronyms. An initialism is pronounced letter by letter, like FBI or CIA. An acronym is pronounced as a word, like NATO or UNESCO. And some can go either way, depending on context. A good pre-processing pipeline needs to handle both cases.
The lexicon approach handles this cleanly. You just specify the pronunciation for each entry. FBI is FBI. NATO is NATO. The model doesn't have to guess. It just loops it up.
For the BERT-based approach, you'd actually want a slightly different model, one that not only detects acronyms, but also predicts whether they should be expanded or pronounced as words. That's a harder problem, but there are models that do it.
Let me bring this back to Daniel's actual question, because I think we've been circling it. What can you do if you're building a TTS pipeline and you want deterministic, reliable output? I think the answer is, you can't get perfect determinism from a single approach. You need layers. But you can get close enough that errors become rare enough to be acceptable.
Acceptable is the key word. For a podcast like ours, an occasional mispronounced acronym is noticeable but not catastrophic. Listeners like Dr. Schneiderman might pick up on it, but most people just hear it and move on. The question is whether the engineering effort to fix those edge cases is worth it.
Daniel seems to think it is, and I get why. He's been building this podcast as an experimental platform, a graph-backed knowledge base where the episodes connect to each other through topics. The production quality matters because the content is meant to have long-term value. An episode about sleep medicine from last week should still sound good when someone discovers it through the graph 2 years from now.
That's the real insight here. Most podcasts are disposable. You listen once and forget. But Daniel's vision for this show is different. The episodes are nodes in a knowledge graph. They're meant to be discovered, revisited, connected. That raises the bar for production quality. Mispronounced acronyms are like typos in a book. They undermine the credibility of the whole thing.
Let's get concrete. If I were building this pipeline tomorrow, here's what I'd do. Step 1. Add an acronym detection layer using a small, fine-tuned BERT model, hosted as a lightweight microservice. Step 2. Maintain a curated pronunciation lexicon for the top 100 or so acronyms that appear in our content. Step 3. For anything the BERT model flags with low confidence, fall back to the lexicon. Step 4. For anything not in the lexicon, apply a deterministic rule, spacing out the letters with a very short pause marker if Chatterbox supports it, or periods if it doesn't.
Step 5. Log every acronym transformation so you can spot check the output and improve the lexicon over time. That's the piece that takes this from a one-time fix to a continuously improving system. Every time an acronym slips through, you add it to the lexicon. Within a few months, you've covered virtually everything.
There's also a step 0 here that I think is worth mentioning. Before you build any of this, you need to instrument your pipeline so you can actually see where the failures are happening. Daniel mentioned the doctor. Schneiderman pointed out the acronym issue. But how many other episodes had the same problem that nobody flagged? You need logging, monitoring, maybe even automated quality checks that scan the generated audio for common mispronunciations.
Automated quality checking for TTS output is a whole other rabbit hole. You'd essentially be running a speech recognition model on the generated audio, comparing the recognized text to the original script and flagging discrepancies. If the script says FDA and the recognizer hears FDA or FDA, you know something went wrong.
That's clever, but expensive in terms of compute. For a passion project, probably overkill. I think the logging approach makes more sense. Just log every acronym the pipeline encounters and how it was transformed, and review a sample periodically.
Let me circle back to something Daniel said about 11 Labs and their markup approach, because I think there's an important industry trend here. The big TTS providers are all moving toward richer input formats. Google Cloud Text-to-Speech supports SSML, Amazon Polly supports SSML, L11 Labs has their own simplified markup, Microsoft Azure has their own variant. The direction of travel is clear. Plain text is not enough for high-quality speech synthesis.
The fragmentation is real, and it's not going away. Every provider has their own slightly different flavor of markup. If you're building a pipeline that might switch providers, you need an abstraction layer, some kind of intermediate representation that you can translate into whatever the current TTS engine expects.
This is actually where the open source TTS engines like Chatterbox have an interesting advantage. Because the code is open, you can modify the text processing pipeline directly. You don't need to work around a black box API. You can add custom pre-processing steps, custom pronunciation rules, custom everything. The trade-off is that you have to do the work yourself rather than relying on the provider.
That's exactly the trade-off Daniel described. He said using open source AI is like building a car yourself. 11 Labs is the car that comes fully assembled with all the features. Chatterbox is the kit car. You get more control and lower cost, but you have to solve problems like acronym handling yourself.
There's a middle ground that's emerging, by the way. Some open source TTS engines are starting to adopt community standard markup formats. Koki TTS, before they shut down, had been working on SSML support. Piper TTS has some basic SSML capabilities. The ecosystem is slowly converging.
Let's talk about the specific BERT models Daniel mentioned, because I think some listeners might be curious about what's actually available. Hugging Face has a handful of acronym detection models. There's one called Acronym Identifier that's a fine-tuned, distal BERT, tiny, fast, decent accuracy. There are a few others trained on scientific text that handle domain-specific acronyms well.
The scientific domain models are particularly interesting for our use case, because a lot of the acronyms we deal with are technical or medical. These models have been trained on papers from PubMed and RxIV, so they've seen CT scan and MRI and PCR and all the rest. They're much better at distinguishing technical acronyms from emphasis capitalization than a general purpose model would be.
The other approach Daniel didn't mention but might be worth considering is using the language model itself for pre-processing. Instead of a separate BERT classifier, you could prompt the same model that generates the script to also annotate it. Something like, here's the script. Now go through and mark every acronym with special tokens.
That's clever, but it doubles the inference cost. You're running the full language model twice, once for generation, once for annotation. And language models are much more expensive to run than tiny BERT classifiers. For a production pipeline where cost matters, the sidecar approach is almost certainly cheaper.
Unless you're already running the language model for other post-processing steps. If you're already doing fact-checking or style review with the same model, adding acronym annotation is marginal. It depends on the pipeline architecture.
I think the broader lesson here, and this is something Daniel clearly understands, is that building a production TTS pipeline is about solving a long tail of small problems. Acronyms are one. Numbers are another. Should 1,200 be read as 1,200 or 1,200? Dates are another. Is 03/05 March 5th or May 3rd? Abbreviations, units, symbols, special characters. Each one seems trivial on its own, but together they create a lot of friction.
The reason text normalization for TTS is hard is that it requires understanding. You can't just write regex patterns. You need to know that saint can be street or saint depending on context. You need to know that doctor is usually doctor but sometimes drive. You need to know that 2020 can be the year or a number. These are semantic distinctions, not syntactic ones.
Which is why the industry has been moving toward end-to-end TTS models that take raw text as input and learn to handle normalization implicitly. Models like Tortoise TTS or BARC or the newer diffusion-based systems, they're trained on vast amounts of audio text pairs, and they learn to handle many of these normalization issues automatically. They're not perfect, but they're getting better.
Chatterbox, if I understand correctly, is not an end-to-end model in that sense. It still has a separate text processing front-end and a waveform generation back-end, so the normalization has to happen explicitly. That's why Daniel is running into these issues.
That's not a knock on Chatterbox. Most production TTS systems still use a pipeline architecture rather than end-to-end. Pipeline systems give you more control and are easier to debug. End-to-end systems sound more natural but are harder to steer. It's a trade-off.
Let me try to summarize what I think the actionable advice is here, because Daniel asked a very practical question. If you're building a TTS pipeline and hitting acronym issues, the most robust approach is a layered pre-processing stack. Start with a curated pronunciation lexicon for your most frequent acronyms. Add a small BERT-based acronym detector for everything else. Use rule-based fallbacks for edge cases. Log everything so you can improve over time. And design the pre-processing layer to be TTS engine agnostic, so you can swap backends without rebuilding the whole thing.
That's a solid summary. I'd add one more thing. if you have the resources, invest in building a test suite. A set of scripts that contain every acronym you care about, every edge case you've encountered, every tricky normalization scenario. Run those through the pipeline after every change and listen to the output. It's tedious, but it's the only way to be confident that you haven't introduced regressions.
That test suite approach is something Daniel would appreciate, given his software development background. It's the same idea as unit tests for code. You encode your expectations and check them automatically.
There's an interesting parallel here to the broader conversation about AI quality assurance. As more content gets generated by AI pipelines, we're going to need new kinds of testing infrastructure. You can't manually review every episode of every AI-generated podcast. You need automated quality checks that can catch the obvious errors, mispronounced acronyms, garbled sentences, unnatural pauses.
We're already seeing startups emerge in this space. Companies building AI observability tools that monitor the output of generative pipelines and flag anomalies. It's early days, but the need is real.
Daniel's podcast is actually a fascinating case study in this, because he's been running an almost fully automated production pipeline for years now. The script is AI generated, the voices are AI generated, the topic selection is driven by AII. And he's been iterating on the quality issues. First it was disfluencies, now it's acronyms, next it'll be something else. Each iteration makes the output a little bit better.
That iterative approach is the right one, I think. You can't solve all the text normalization problems at once. You tackle the highest impact ones first. Build infrastructure that makes it easy to add new rules and models, and keep improving over time.
The acronym issue is a perfect example of a problem that's high impact but relatively contained. It annoys listeners like Doctor. It makes the podcast sound less professional. But the solution space is well understood. There are established approaches, pre-trained models, known patterns. It's not a research problem. It's an engineering problem.
Engineering problems have engineering solutions, which is reassuring, in a way. Not everything in AI has to be a moonshot.
There's one more thing I want to touch on before we wrap up. Daniel mentioned that he envisions the podcast as a graph-backed knowledge base, where episodes are nodes connected by topics. And he said they haven't fully implemented that yet, but they visualized the graph. I think that vision connects directly to the quality question. If the podcast is meant to function as a reference, something people discover and explore non-linearly, then production quality isn't just nice to have, it's essential. You can't have someone discover an episode from 2 years ago and hear garbled acronyms. It undermines the whole premise.
A linear podcast lives in the moment. Listeners hear the latest episode, maybe a few recent ones, and that's it. Quality issues in old episodes don't matter much because nobody listens to them, but a graph-backed podcast is different. Every episode is a potential entry point. Every episode needs to hold up.
That raises the stakes for the acronym FIX. It's not just about making future episodes better, it's about going back and fixing the old ones. If Daniel builds a robust pre-processing pipeline, he could theoretically re-render the entire back catalog with corrected pronunciation.
That's a big project. But if the pipeline is automated enough, it's just a matter of compute and time. Feed in the old scripts, run them through the new pre-processing stack, regenerate the audio, and swap the files. 2,500 episodes would take a while, but it's parallelizable.
That's the beauty of a fully automated pipeline. Once you've solved the problem once, you can apply the solution retroactively. It's not like a human narrator who would have to re-record everything. The AI voices are always available, always consistent.
All right, I think we've given Daniel a pretty thorough answer. But let me ask you one more question, Herman. If you were starting a TTS pipeline from scratch today, would you choose an open source engine like Chatterbox and deal with these normalization issues yourself? Or would you go with a commercial provider like 11 Labs that handles most of this out of the box?
That's a tough one. For a passion project where cost matters and you have the engineering skills, I'd go open source. The control you get is worth the extra work. But for a commercial product where time to market matters and you need production quality from day one, I'd go with a managed provider. 11 Labs has solved most of these problems already. You pay a premium, but you get to focus on content instead of infrastructure.
I think Daniel's case is interesting because it's somewhere in between. It's a passion project, but it has real listeners and real quality expectations. and he has the engineering skills to build the pre-processing pipeline. So open source makes sense, but it also creates exactly the kind of problem he's asking about.
Which is why he's asking. And I think the answer is, yes, you build the sidecar models. You invest in the pre-processing infrastructure. You treat text normalization as a first-class engineering concern, not an afterthought. And over time, as the open-source TTS engines get better at handling these things natively, you can gradually simplify your pipeline.
The car analogy Daniel used is actually perfect. When you build the car yourself, you learn exactly how every part works. You can fix things when they break. You can upgrade individual components, but you also spend a lot of time under the hood. It's a trade-off between capability and convenience. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The national animal of Scotland is the unicorn.
Right. Here's the forward-looking thought I want to leave listeners with. As AI-generated audio becomes more common, podcasts, audiobooks, voice assistants, video narration, the text normalization problem is going to become more visible. The companies that solve it well, whether through better end-to-end models or richer markup standards or smarter pre-processing, are going to have a real advantage. And the open-source community, projects like Chatterbox, are going to need to catch up or risk being left behind. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the next few years.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping this whole operation running. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to dig deeper into how we build this show, the technical posts and episode archive are at My Weird Prompts.
We'll be back next time.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.